Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And I'll be reading from King James. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Thank you, Dan, for that reading. Thank you for, again, you being here today. We've been talking about this morning sheep and shepherds, talking about local shepherds. This morning earlier, we began a study in our classes, Kingdom Leaders, that deals with the subject of biblical leadership. And now, for our remainder period of time together, we want to talk about what it means to be part of the flock. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12 that were just read for us, it talks about there how that he gave some apostles and evangelists and teachers, and depending on your translation, it may say pastors or shepherds. It's interesting today that the term pastors is misused by many and is applied to what really the Bible calls an evangelist or the preacher. But in the biblical model there in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, the pastors or the shepherds would be what in other places is called the elders or overseers of the local flock. And this morning at 9 o'clock, we looked at what the shepherds should do when they shepherd the flock. And now it's our turn. I'm excited about our study for the whole quarter because I think it really sets the mood and the tone for leadership and what we should have when we are blessed to have great leadership. Do not think that these lessons or this study in our classes is intended to be some kind of judgment against the leadership we have. We have wonderful leadership, but we want to make sure we maintain that for generations to come. We also want to make sure we understand the relationship between the flock and the leaders as we should have it biblically. And the first requirement I think that we have to be part of the flock is submission. We must submit to the leadership. The Bible uses a term in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 in relation to elders that is called simply overseers. Overseers. In 1 Timothy 3, 1, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, or Titus 1 and verse 7, for an overseer as God's servant must be above reproach. A shepherd then is just one who sees over the flock. It means that they are the ones watching over us. What that means to us, though, is that when we appoint men to see over us in those positions, we are agreeing then to be under that watch and care and oversight. Not that they're in some kind of a tower looking down upon us, but rather they are in a position among us with the responsibility to keep watch and protection over us. And that means we must submit to that watch. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28, not verse 7, I'm sorry, that's a typo there. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul says there to the elders from Ephesus, pay careful attention to yourselves, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I want you to notice something that is said in that passage. Paul didn't say, you as a congregation elected these men in a democratic process and therefore you are bound to submit to them. What he said was, you which the Holy Spirit has made overseers. We need to view the job of elders and their oversight and their shepherding, we need to view it as a God-appointed, ordained position. It is their job. God has put them in those positions. Romans 13 tells us that all authority comes from God, and certainly that's true of our politicians that Andy prayed for, of those that we work for. We see that is authority that God has put in place, but it certainly is the case when it comes to the church and to the elders. We need to realize that the shepherds then are not under our oversight. We are under theirs. They don't need our approval for their shepherding. They're going to have to be accountable to God for their shepherding. And we'll talk about
one way that, yes, we must make sure they're accountable, but overall, they are not driven by opinion polls and elections and what we want. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 11 and 12, it was just read for us, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of Christ. They are there to serve us in a capacity that God has appointed them to build us up, encourage us, and to equip us, to train us in what we ought to do. But in order for that to happen, we have to submit to their leadership. Now, let me share something with you that sometimes I think we oversee. We look past. What that means is if it's their job to oversee us and we're to follow them, is that certainly while they're most of the decisions or many of the decisions will be decisions straight from the Bible, that oftentimes there are decisions that aren't necessarily biblical, that are somewhat subjective. And sometimes they make those decisions and we, if we're not careful, the sheep want to go, well, you know, I just don't like the decision they made. They shouldn't have made that decision. I got to tell you that in the biblical model, we really don't have that option. If it's a subjective decision, meaning that it's a judgment call, it's not violating Scripture, it's a judgment call they must make, then in those situations, they make the call and we follow. And we don't follow grudgingly or arguing along the way. True submission is, okay, I understand this is a judgment call. You're making a judgment call and I'm going to follow because after all, you're my shepherd. Friends, let me tell you, when we refuse to do that, we're not only refusing their leadership and rejecting their leadership, we're rejecting God's leadership as well. In John chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4, there's that word picture we looked at earlier, that beautiful description about how the gatekeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Now certainly when it comes to Jesus Christ, we have to follow his voice. But there is an application there as well, that when we have shepherds over the local body, we need to hear their voice and follow their lead as well. Sometimes the failure in leadership is not the leaders, but the refusal of the sheep to follow the shepherd. Our job is to submit to them. I realize there are exceptions. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, Peter told the shepherds there, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. They are accountable to God. And certainly Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men, applies to shepherds as well. If our elders ever asked us to do something that was disregarding or rejecting God's will and rebellious in nature to it, then we cannot follow them. But in any case where that is not true, it is our responsibility and I believe biblical obligation to follow them. I heard the story of a teacher once at a local church who decided he just didn't want to teach the curriculum that the elders had selected. And so he just went into class and decided to teach his own thing. And the elders found out about that and they quickly pulled him aside and informed him that he was not obligated to teach the class. But if he wanted to teach the class, he would teach the curriculum that was chosen. I have to tell you that as long as that curriculum was scriptural, you have no choice but to do what the elders have set out. It's over now, so let me share a secret with you. I didn't particularly like Granville Tyler. Our elders knew that. But it's my job to teach it, isn't it? You see, the reality is sometimes our elders make decisions that we have to follow we may not like. Why? Because we've made an agreement. I will hear your voice and follow you. I will submit to your leadership. Brethren, that is our responsibility. And in order for us to do our job, it is our obligation to submit to them. Secondly, we must lift them up. We've already looked at this morning how that shepherding's a tough job. It's a full-time job, feeding, leading, protecting, restoring. It's hard work. And it is difficult enough without us deciding to go out of our way to make it a little bit harder for them. But every decision they make, we're critical of. And every time something happens, we have a better way to do it. Now, why didn't they do this? And why didn't they do that? Don't they know that we need to do this? Why did they change the assemblies to 3 hours on Sunday morning? Don't they know we need to do it twice? Why don't they have the marriage class more often? Don't they know we need more help than that? Why did they choose this kind of book in class? Don't they know that's not a good book? Why do they always have this guy teach? Why do they let that guy lead singing on Sunday morning? Why do they let that guy lead a prayer? All of the questions and criticism that always comes up, that doesn't make their job any easier. In fact, I've talked to elders at other congregations who are real close to quitting because they're tired of all of that. They're tired of being criticized for everything they do. They're tired of making difficult decisions and praying earnestly and making tough decisions when at the end of the day, instead of thanks for your leadership, I trust in you, all they hear is why did you do it that way? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And I want you to notice the rest of this passage. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You make sure you submit to your leadership in such a way that they can lead without groaning, that they can do it with joy. Because as the Hebrew writer says, making their pathway more difficult will end up only hurting you as a flock in the end. Our responsibility is to make sure we're not complaining and judging and being critical and questioning every step along the way. I would also encourage us to be careful that we don't make unjust accusations. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 19. I want you to notice what is said there. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Paul tells Timothy, don't listen to any accusation against the shepherds unless they're witnesses. I have to tell you that I don't like election year. And part of the reason for that is I don't like politics. But you know what I like even less than politics in our government is politics in churches. And yet every place I've ever been at, within the first 6 months, you get to hear all of the problems and the bad things that have ever happened at the congregation. And the members come and they tell you who the cliques are, and they tell you what this elder did or what this person did and all of these things, because as soon as you move into the office upstairs, everybody wants to come and give you their share of the story. First of all, there's no place for that in the Lord's body. There's another word for that besides politics. It's called gossip. It needs to stop. But I think what Paul is warning Timothy of is, listen, you don't ever receive a complaint about an elder without witnesses, because it's just gossip and politics. When we are sheep that are part of the flock following our shepherds, we will not gossip about our elders. We won't listen to it. We won't promote it. We won't repeat it. In fact, what we will do is we will stop it from happening. Now I want you to go on in verse 20. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 19 says, not to admit a charge, but verse 20 said, for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so the rest may stand in fear. And certainly what I think that passage means is if there is a shepherd who is in sin, and there are witnesses that have made that accusation, and he persists, then now there's a completely different thing. Now you have to rebuke that elder for what he's done, because he's persisting in sin. Let me warn us about that. We are talking about real sin there. Not, you know, I don't like Dennis because the other day he walked right by me in the hall and he never said anything to me, and I just don't think he's qualified to be an elder because he should have shook my hand. That's not sinful. It's not a sin. We bring accusations against elders, they should be accusations that are backed up and that are accusations that are sinful. Not petty, trivial things that only serve to tear down the body of Christ in the end. We got to lift them up. We do that by working on our growth instead of waiting to be challenged by the eldership. We do that by cooperating with them and submitting to them, by following God's will, by listening when the elders speak and following when they lead, by submitting and not challenging their authority. We need to try to make their leadership as easy as possible. And the number one way, the best thing you can do for that is to pray. I am so thankful to serve under shepherds who are men of prayer. Several years ago, when we began having a yearly annual emphasis spiritually on the fourth Sunday, the very first one that they wanted to do was prayer, because they understand the importance of prayer. And let me tell you this morning that we need to understand the importance of prayer as it relates to our leadership. They are not perfect, and they go through some difficult times. And we need to be lifting their name in prayer to God that He will assist them and give them wisdom and comfort them and give them joy as they serve us. They are still growing as we are. They're in the same process of growth in places like 2 Peter 1, 5-8 about adding to your faith, temperance, and so forth. They're doing that just like we are. They're still seeking the fruit of the Spirit just like we are. They're not perfect. We need to give them prayer to help them. Even though they are mature spiritually, they still need God's help. Pray that God will hold them up. Pray that they'll have courage, that they'll have boldness, that they'll have wisdom, that they'll lead us in paths of righteousness and beside still waters into the quiet pastures. Pray that they'll keep growing themselves. Pray. Lift them up. And finally, we must respect. Somebody might say, well, you've already said that. You said we have to submit to them. Well, I have to tell you, those are two different things, because you can submit to somebody you don't respect. Some of you do that at work every day. You have bosses you don't respect, but you still submit to them. And the reality is, we need to respect them. Back over in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Remember them and imitate their faith. To me, that's the idea of respect them. Take note of them and respect them. I tell you, one of the greatest ways we respect our leadership is the way we talk about them. We speak about our shepherds. We talk about them to each other. We have to always be lifting them up and respecting them. Not conversations like, can you believe the other day they said this or they did this, but instead it ought to be, you know, we have great shepherds here. They're leading us in paths of righteousness. It's nice to hear those kind of compliments and language that some of you say. I remind you that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, that Paul said that elders who rule well would be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And while I understand that this passage is referring to even the justification to provide financial compensation for those who serve as a full-time elder, perhaps that what is behind this before that is that they should receive honor beginning with before they even receive the double honor. There are respect for them, even when we disagree. Our honor for them. The tough job they have. We must honor our shepherds. I know that doesn't seem like a lot. It's really brief. It's supposed to be. Because I just want to share with you some simple things. Submit to them, lift them up, and honor or respect them. And in doing so, we will create the proper environment for the flock of God to grow and to thrive here at East Shelby. And that's what God wants for us. When you read the 23rd Psalm, as we did earlier this morning, you can easily see all of the responsibilities of the shepherds. What about the sheep? I tell you what you don't read about in the 23rd Psalm is you don't see the sheep saying, we're not going to sit here in the green grass. We're not going to drink from that still water, and we don't want to walk down this path. We're not going to do that. The sheep in the 23rd Psalm go wherever the shepherd leads them. It's understood then that the sheep must submit and respect the leadership of the shepherd. I think sometimes we appoint men as elders because, well, we're supposed to do that. It's what the Bible says. And so we just kind of check it off like all the other checklist things. I would encourage you to think about the tremendous responsibilities that we take on in relation to those men in those jobs. If we aren't able to submit and respect them and lift them up, then there is a problem. If it's a problem on their behalf because they are not qualified, then we need to take care of that. But if it's our problem that in our own rebellion and stubborn refusal, we're just not going to follow after shepherds, that's our problem. We have to change. I have to tell you that if we're not willing to submit to our elders here, our shepherds here, what it also means is we're probably unwilling to submit to Jesus Christ, our shepherd. We will not see heaven unless we follow the chief shepherd, unless we hear his voice and do as he says and go where he leads. Are you submitting to Christ this morning? You may be here and you're not a Christian. You've not put on Christ. Galatians 3 tells us that as many have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. Do you believe in Christ? Have you been baptized? If not, you've not followed the shepherd. We'd encourage you to do that this morning. And if you've not followed the shepherd through your rebellion and refusal, as we talked about this morning, as a sheep, to even follow the local shepherds, I would encourage you to repent of that. It is sinful. You were told to submit to them. And to confess that to God, as 1 John 1:9 says, and He will forgive you. We pray that this morning all of us could leave having the hope of eternity with God. That's not your confidence this morning. You need to change your life. We'd encourage you to do it now. Come forward while we stand.
While we sing.